This show is sponsored by Sevi, answering all your commercial real estate needs. Sevi is the first commercial real estate company committed to the four C's: commercial real estate, community, content, and culture. Go visit Sevi at Sevi, S-E-V-I, properties.com. Again, SeviProperties.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the DMV Business Show. I'm your host, Odo Sevilla. And today I have a very special guest for you. We have Galen Lawson. Galen is the owner of Lawson Yardscapes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is great.
Pleasure is all mine. Before we go into your personal journey, Galen, if you can give the audience just a brief general overview of who is Lawson Yardscapes.
Again, I'm Galen Lawson. I am a landscape designer in the Petworth neighborhood of Washington, D.C. Lawson Yardscapes, that's my company. It's me. It's just me. I won Employer of the Month again. It's pretty amazing. Every month, it's wild.
Awesome. That might be a record there.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep trying to set more records. So I design outdoor spaces for residential homes in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. And as far as what I focus on is lawn reducing designs, using native and pollinator plants, dealing with stormwater issues. That's a big deal for a lot of homes. Making sure there's multi-season interest, generally being a helpful guide through the whole landscaping process. Since most of the homeowners that I work with, they're sort of first timers to working with a landscape designer, which is very common, but I take pride in being sort of a helpful guide through the whole process.
That's great. I can't wait to get into the story, Galen, how you even came to do what you do today. For those of us listening, yardscape, landscape design, the design part, it's very different than actually the landscape work, correct?
Correct. And I do have to make that distinction sometimes, because I have been contacted and even gone to visit with homeowners who they're not exactly sure what I do. So I have to make the distinction that I'm a designer, and I eventually produce a master plan that then we can make real, basically, with putting in the heavy lifting work of landscapers. So exactly.
I love that. So you're almost the architect to the construction person, right? You come in, you design, you do the layout, and then you give that plan to the construction, which in our case is the landscaper, who actually goes and implements and does the labor and the work.
Correct. And that can be, I'll just use the general term contractors, but that can be sort of a general landscapers, someone who's a lighting specialist, maybe even sort of an irrigation specialist. There's a whole bunch. You can have masonry experts to come and build an outdoor kitchen. But you're correct. I work together with the homeowner to come up with a master plan that gets given to sort of the experts to implement.
That's great. Are you originally from the DMV area?
I am. I was born in North Carolina, but I basically grew up in Arlington. Across the river, since I'm in Petworth right now. I spent my childhood in Arlington, moved away for a little bit, but then I came back. So the long story short is, yes, I've spent most of my life in the area. So I'm a proud resident here, and my son is he was born in DC, so he's actually more local than I am. So
yeah.
So yes, local.
That's great. How was it growing up in Arlington in Northern Virginia? If I can take you back there for a moment, in childhood, like, what were you into? Any maybe sports or activities that you specifically like more than others?
I guess I grew up with Little League Baseball. I've got those memories stashed away in my head somewhere. Arlington was great because it was... the neighborhood where you and your friends could just hop on your bikes and ride around all day, and and not come home until the streetlights came on. But also, I come from a family of artists. My mom's an artist, my father's an artist. Eventually, my brother is an artist who's living in LA, doing work there. So there was a lot of art and creating in my childhood. So which I guess could have taken the place of what cell phones might be doing these days. But I was very happy to grow up in a creative household.
That's interesting. As far as siblings, is it just you and your brother?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So,
Yes.
I mean, what you do, it's creative because you have to have the creativity, the vision as far as where you can place things and design it, right?
Correct. Yeah, I've and maybe we'll get into this in a little bit, but I've been a graphic designer. But you're right, it's all about spatial orientation and move things around and so on. But yeah, it's whatever it is that I do, I could change careers again 5 times, but it would all have to be something creative.
Yeah.
It would have to be, I don't know. I don't plan on changing careers because I love what I do now. But the point is that you have to be creative, or at least I do, to enjoy life.
So did you do high school in Arlington, or I know you said you moved out briefly, but then you came back to the area?
I did two years of high school in Arlington, and then moved right in the middle of high school. So that was kind of an obstacle, but it's a life lesson. It probably taught me a few things about being flexible and change and seeing new places. So but yeah, so it's weird. So I've got like class rings from two high schools, which is kind of interesting.
Where'd you end up graduating? Where'd you move to?
Florida, actually. The high school that I went to for junior and senior year was actually in Daytona Beach. It was across the street from the beach. It was really weird. Their
Wow.
mascot was the sand crabs, so that was unique. But from there, I ended up doing 2 years of community college. But then I went to Ringling School of Art and Design, which I think has since changed its name to something else. But that's where I got a degree in graphic design, and that was fun. It was fun, going to art school. It's not everyone gets to do that. But
Where were they
then not
located?
long,
Florida?
what's that?
Where was the art school? Is it in Florida?
Oh yeah, it was in Florida. It was on the other side of the state in Sarasota, Florida.
Okay.
It's a great school. It's grown over the years, from what I hear. Every time I go back, there's some new building that's built there. But not long after I graduated there, I moved back to the DC area and started being gainfully employed.
Sure. It must have been fun as far as doing your late teenage years or early 20s in Daytona Beach, especially with, back then, I don't know how it is now, consider, spring break party town and all the craziness, right?
You're absolutely right. That was the heyday of when MTV would go and do all of their stuff at Daytona Beach. I wasn't really that kind of person. Me and my sort of geeky friends would just sort of hang around on the outside and just sort of by osmosis enjoy what other people were doing. Yeah, it was weird. It was definitely it was a time.
Yes.
Yeah, it's strange. I remember in my first year there in high school, people would say, "So where are you going for spring break?" And I'm like, "I'm going to Daytona Beach, I guess. I'm not going anywhere. I'm
Yeah.
already in Florida." So yeah, like I said, but more memories stashed away.
What made you move back to the DC area after graduating school?
Well, I guess, I mean, jobs. I mean, it's a recession-proof area. And yeah, there was just seemed more opportunity. in DC, and it was a place that I had always, I knew it, and I wanted to get back to it. And yeah, it is a good question. I don't have a much better answer than saying it just felt right and felt like really comfortable. And I wanted to see, the opportunities that were here, and had, didn't disappoint.
So you were looking when you were in Florida, you're looking for, I guess, employment opportunities in the DC metro area.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I as soon as you get your diploma, or as soon as I got my diploma, I immediately started thinking about, I wanted to get to work. Basically, I didn't want to take a gap year or live with my parents or anything like that. I just wanted to get to work, because I had all this, this energy. How you are in your, in your early 20s, you just want to get going, and it was exciting. So yeah.
I agree. I was a little bit like that as well during college. I would have friends or acquaintances, and they would be on the 5-year plan or even 6-year plan in college. I graduated from Maryland here, University of Maryland College Park, and my goal was just do the 4 years in and out. If it means taking summer classes to catch up or whatever it may be, just sort of driven to get out and just make some money and just go out in the workforce per se, right?
Yeah, the ex I get on the express train to life, I guess. Yeah, let's get on with it, which is kind of how I felt, with what I'm doing now, which, I guess I'm getting right into it, is I didn't want to wait around to, switching careers from graphic design to landscape designer. Didn't want to slow walk it, just want to get into it,
I love that. So you come in here, you come to the DC, you come back to DC area, let's call it home, with graphic design, and then you sort of stay in that graphic design industry for quite a period of time, right?
Yeah, it's 2 decades worth. My first job was actually with the government. There was the if the government printing office is on North Capitol Street. It's this sort of old, almost in sort of imposing building, and I drive by it a lot. And I know it is the place where I got my first job. It was just sort of designing, I guess publications, we'll say, for different government entities and stuff. Kind of dry, but and I was the youngest person there by far. I hope they enjoyed my enthusiasm for it. I was trying to make everything look, top notch and that sort of thing. But I digress. Yeah, so there was that was my first job, and then I would I found that there were a lot of nonprofits in the area. I mean, that we're in nonprofit world here, and there are plenty of work to be had there. So yeah, I'm just trying to run down my life going on here. I did actually start a business for a little while, and that was fine. I didn't really dive into the business part of it, so it didn't really sort of take off like I wanted it to.
Were you doing that? I'm
So
sorry, were you doing that business sort of part-time while you were still full-time employed with whether the government or nonprofit organization?
No, that was a full-time thing. And I'll just say it was a learning experience, to see what it takes to be able to have a surviving business. And it was hard, and I couldn't make it work the first time around.
Was
So
it,
yeah, I
I'm sorry, I'm curious, was it utilizing at all your creativity or design or not at all? Totally different.
Yes. The business was primarily designed for the nonprofit for nonprofit sector, because I wanted to be able to design for good reasons and good causes, that sort of thing, instead of selling widgets and that sort of thing. So I got to do some really good work. It just wasn't enough of it to be sustainable. In the end, that's how it was. But yeah, I have some good work that I've saved from then. I like to go back and see what happened. It just unfortunately there wasn't enough of it.
Sure.
So I sort of had to jump back in, and work for the man, I guess. But which isn't so bad because you do have some there is some safety, I guess, and having a 401k and a health plan and all that. But yeah, that was that's 2 decades worth of graphic design experience.
So what made you in the end just, were you always thinking about yardscaping and design, or in the end, how did that come about, that idea in the first place?
Well, I mean, the yardscapes, this is all very recent. So I'll tell you the story, which is very similar to a lot of people's stories as COVID hit. And I was working as a graphic designer in around NoMa or downtown-ish area. And so I had I was working for the business, and the company got hit hard, like a lot of companies did, and they had to lay off some people, and myself included. So I found myself sort of looking for jobs, looking for work. And I realized, I was trying to look for work. I was applying for jobs, and I found myself hoping I didn't get them, which is an odd thing. And I quickly realized what was going on. And I thought, wow, something's not right. This has got to change. And so, my wife, who's been just a supporter through this whole venture, she said, look, this is the time. If you want to change up things, this is the time to do it. And I was like, you're right. You're right. So, I start thinking about what it is that I want to do. And like I said, earlier, it has to be creative, right? So it's like, what things appeal to me? And I'm not exactly sure how landscape design came to be like at the top of the list. Not exactly sure. I will say I actually looked hard into carpentry, of all things, because you can create and use your hands, and I want to get dirty and not sell stuff, right? I actually contacted a professor at a college. Can't remember where, but I was told the sort of truth, the hard truth about carpentry, is I said, look, you're getting older, and this is sort of a young person's job. It's gonna be pretty tough because you have to apprentice and carry wood here and there. And it's like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, maybe that's not for me. But that aside, landscape design sort of checked all the boxes for me. It's creativity, it's getting outdoors, meeting people. What I loved the most was that it was landscape design isn't about selling products to anybody or anything like that. It's about just bringing like beauty to people's lives and outdoor spaces and even joy. It just seems very fair. It just seems right, and it's something that I can live with doing every day. So
Sure.
yeah, sorry, I can't even remember what your question was, but I guess it was how this all came about, right?
Yes, definitely. So once you decided that yardscape and landscape design sort of checked all the boxes for you, were you then like, okay, what software system or what system, or do I use AutoCAD, or do I do some tutorials or learn? What was the next step after you finally deciding this is the route I'm heading?
Right. So, I mean, the first there was there. There's a knowledge gap in there that I had to take care of. I've got, the essentially the creative part, more or less taken care of. But I had a gap where horticulture knowledge, you have to know the paint that you're painting with, right? So I went to school for about 2 years. It was at Montgomery College, right up the road. And so that was 2 years of studying plants, basically. Photosynthesis, plant diseases, invasive weeds, all the industry terminology, sustainability issues, rain gardens, taking field trips all over the place to see different things. So I, you know, I sort of I graduated with all of that, and it's something that the learning never stops. I'm always I always want to know more about plants. But so yes, that's so I filled that gap there, that knowledge gap there, and then it was only then that I could actually go out and think about what to do next. But I didn't start my company then. I wanted to get some experience working with somebody or a company. So when I was nearing the end of my classes there, I joined the APLD, which is the Association of Professional Landscape Designers, and they have chapters all over the country. We have our own here, obviously. And so I had access to the email listserv, and I just put myself out there on the listserv. I said, "Hey, does anyone know anyone who needs, like, someone who's starting their second career, is looking sort of maybe an apprenticeship or maybe even an internship, whatever you want to call it." And that's when I found out that the community, the APLD, the landscape designers community around here is really generous and really nice. I got multiple offers to say, "Hey, come with me, shadow me," and it was, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Okay. It was great. So I eventually went to sort of be an assistant with Carolyn Irvin. She's got her own landscape design company. She does really great work. She's really impressive projects, and I got to be involved with a bunch of them. And I learned a lot in a short amount of time. There's things like site analysis, construction documents, job pricing, all these weird processes that you're not going to learn about until you get into the real world. And yeah, so it was after that is when I decided to start my own business. And again, my wife was like, "You should start your own business." And I go, "Okay, let's do this. All right." So to your point, yes, there's all these things that you need to figure out, technology-wise, software, and what are you going to use for to do your taxes and that sort of thing. And that's not even mentioning all the other things, like how do you market yourself? How do you put your name out there? So that's hard.
So this was like 2, 3 years in the making then, as far as when you decided to sort of venture into this new industry, to you finally opening up your own business.
And I had none of this planned out. It just sort of unfolded. It just one thing seemed like the what should happen right after the other. And I'm a work in progress right now.
Sure. But we are.
But we all are, right? We're all a work in progress. We're all day to day. So yeah, this year, my resolution is to grow even more than last year. And I consider last year an amazing trajectory for what I've learned, the projects I've worked on by myself and with others. But it's still, it's still hard. It's got its challenges every day, especially like right now. It's it's January, it's cold. Nobody's thinking about their yards right now. So I have to figure that part out too.
Yeah, as far as when the slow season, right? For you and many others out there, what to do.
Absolutely. I might as well join a conversation on a podcast,
There you
right?
go. Well, we have to market your services, and this is part of it.
Oh, fantastic. Oh,
Yeah,
that's great.
there you go. I'm curious, now that we're talking about slow season, I'm sure you're not the only one. I'm thinking of also landscapers. Beside that, construction people slow down. A anything to do with outdoors when it's cold, and if you live in that part of town, sort of slows down. I know a lot of people who work outside, for example, who have, I don't know, power washing businesses. They also do Christmas lights or clean gutters per se. What have you seen, Galen, in your industry? People who do landscape design or yardscape on the downtime or the slow months, do you see them do something else, or what do they typically focus on then?
I think there's an acceptance that it is slow, and then it's a time for planning. And I remember this time last year, I was telling people that now is the time to plan for spring, sort of get a head start on spring, and maybe have that master plan ready to go on, say, April 10th or whatever it is. So yeah, there's no way around it. I know that there are little things you can do, like and I think your previous episode about flower arranging, there some people will do some sort of exterior decor in there, as a sort of a side gig almost, sort of like a parallel gig. I know in the landscaping industry, there's a lot of services to remove snow during the winter, but the problem is there's no snow anymore. I worry about them. So that's a good question. Maybe I need to ask them that, like how
Well,
what else is there?
I think we're gonna get some tomorrow, so hey, we'll see.
So yeah, so if you it's okay to root for snow, because I think it creates jobs in DC area, at least
Listen,
temporarily.
the kids tend to like it. I have three little ones, and when there's snow, they get very excited.
That's right. As long as it's not slushy or icy, it's pretty good.
You were just talking about earlier about marketing, as far as obviously this is an important part of any business. And you were saying how it may not be your favorite. I don't know, maybe that has changed from a marketing standpoint. I guess how what do you do or How, what do you do to get traffic in?
Okay, that's a good question. I will Oh, let's see. I have a heavy presence online. A robust footprint of online. Having making sure you've got most of the social media covered, and just sort of produce content, put your just get stuff out there. Making sure that your Google business page is active. You basically it's something that you have to do stuff like weekly, at least, maybe a few times a week. Make sure that you're putting stuff out there. I will say something that's been very helpful is I found a local news outlet. Petworth News has been great, to be able to get my name out there through that, and that's been really great. There's let's see whether it's Yelp or Houzz or anything like that, just getting your name out there digitally is great. As far as sort of non-digital means, getting to know people, it can't be beat, I guess. Because I've like I'm Let's say for one example is I have relationships with landscapers, and we'll team up to work on a project together, and we'll both bring in homeowners from both sides, to be able to work together, and that's been very helpful. So there's the digital part, and then there's the non-digital, is the face-to-face, knowing people. The networking part is something that doesn't come totally naturally to me, but it's something it's not to be it's not as scary once you start getting into it. People are generally helpful, and and also make sure you have a business card with you wherever you go.
That comes in handy.
It does. It does. Just they're so small, just might as well put one in your pocket,
Yeah.
right?
You know, I agree. I haven't used a business card in maybe years. When I go to meetings, I mean, typically I've already talked with this person, whether it's on the phone or via email, and we're meeting. So they typically already have my contact information. Now, I guess you can be in a network event, and for that, of course, you do need it because everyone's just handing out cards there. That's a given. That's just part of it. Or yeah, but I agree. You definitely need some business cards. Yes.
Yeah, it's always in the most random places too. You know, it's just people you don't even know. There's also I had my front yard is very tiny, as you know, in DC there are tiny front yards. But 1 year, my wife and I sort of redesigned. We just turned it into a lush garden, and she said, "Why don't you put your company name out front?" And I said, "I did." So I said, "There's a tiny sign that said designed by Lawson Yardscapes," and I had people ask about it. Even my two doors down neighbor said, "Hey, I need my backyard. I'm looking to get it, you know, fixed up." And then next thing you know, we're working together. It's great. Now I can, which is kind of cool. I can look out my back window and I can see a layout that I've done like every day. Anyway, so not just business cards, but little finding creative ways of you know, reminding people that you exist
I
when
love
you
that.
put in a.
And that's a great idea. I have seen it, especially let's say if there's contractors or like you said, landscape design, you can just put the, I don't know what you call it, the iron, and then there's a sign there,
Right,
just part of the
absolutely.
market.
Yeah. I actually got to know a landscaper, landscaping company in the neighborhood because that person put their sign out in front of a like a masonry project that they were working on, and I called that person and said, "Hey, let's work on another neighborhood job," and it was great. Yeah, signs.
Out of all the different marketing tactics, whether digital and non-digital, where would you say where you see most of the traffic coming from?
Let's see. Like I said, the local newsletter that went out was
The
huge for
Petworth
me, and
one?
then the Petworth one, and then Petworth News, and then Instagram, I guess. Instagram, yeah,
It is very visual what you do. So being on Instagram or Pinterest, or you mentioned how it's a must.
absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of great visuals that you know I end up producing, and all is it just the homeowner that gets to see these things? No, let's put it out there for everyone to see with their permission, of course. So you know, there is that little issue.
Sure. So Galen, Lawson Yardscape was founded, was it last year?
Let's see. Not last year, but the year before. You know what? Time is a blur to me right now. I
2022.
remember, sure. I think it was like a July, I guess. It
Okay.
wasn't July last year. I guess it was the one before that. So
Yes.
yeah. Yes.
That's great. Coming up on 2 years. Okay.
I'm still here. How great is that? Yeah, like I said, it's a tremendous learning curve, and the things that I've learned, and the things that I skills that I have are pretty amazing as far as compared to a year ago.
Of course, always learning. What would you say drives and motivates you today?
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, I guess you might be talking about inspiration, possibly, or
Just overall, I mean, it can be business, it can be outside of business.
Well, oh gosh, I do want to just be successful, right? You know, it's
Sure.
you kind of run out of chances you get the older you get. I don't do it to be like a filthy rich person. I still, it's still the creative part. There are a bunch of yards in my neighborhood that I can, I go for a run and I run past them and I can feel pretty good looking over and seeing, hey, we did that. That's great. That feels good. So I guess the more I can do that and with maybe on a bigger scale, that would be wonderful. I want to make things that last, I guess. Yeah. Things that matter to people and things that last, is, I guess that's what does it for me. And then of course, financial stability is in there too somewhere.
Of course, we all need to be profitable, right?
That's
We're
right.
not running a nonprofit organization here,
That's right.
which
That's
I'm sure
right.
you're familiar with.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. There's not as much money in the nonprofit world. I will say, I hope my 12-year-old son is watching me do what I do, because he kind of see he got to see me go to school just like he went to school, and I do remember making sure that he saw that I was studying hard, and it's okay to learn new things. It's okay to fail. It's okay to not know things as long as you take that time and effort to eventually learn those things. That might be a subconscious thing, but I hope he's paying attention.
No, I love this. And they did. I think they do. How many children do you have?
One, just the
Okay,
one.
one, 12.
He
So
gets all the attention.
I have 3 boys, and my oldest is 12.
Ooh, wow.
He's turning 13 in July,
Oh,
and
okay. Yeah.
and it's funny because they all know that I recently went off on my own too, forming my own commercial real estate company, and my oldest is like, "Papa, are we going to be okay? Like, are we going to still live in this house?" And I'm
Yeah.
like,
You're
you
very
know, and
perceptive.
yeah, and I'm like, it's going to be fine. And they see what I do, and it's nice because sometimes they ask me. Like yesterday, I picked him up outside of middle school because he stayed later for some activities, and I picked him up, and I was coming from some meetings, and he asked me how was my day, and he was all cheerful, and I'm like, it was great. I'm like, oh, I just closed a deal, Liam. His name is Liam. I just closed a deal. I signed a lease, and then I had some tours. It went well overall. We'll see what happens. And he was like, oh, Papa, is it under Sevy, your new company? It's Sevy. And I was like, well, starting this year, yeah. So it's just funny because, like you said, they do observe, they do see you, and it's nice. I also try to make him involved and see if he can help with. With content or anything digital to see if there's anything there that we can bond with.
I mean, yeah, that age, you could they can actually start maybe having a little hand at something. It's great. I actually, I guess maybe last year, I gave my son one of my plans, and sometimes you the plans are they're printed out in black and white, and you have to sort of jazz them up with markers and you know really like make the trees green and that sort of thing. So I would hand him. I said, "Hey, could you color in these trees, you know, and stuff like that?" He got into it for a little bit. I wouldn't say he finished it, but I understand the impulse to sort of you know, get your kids to sort of get them on board and, you know, get on the train and be part of the journey.
So I know since you've been employee in the month now holding the record, how do you typically structure your day wearing multiple hats? Do you like to do something sort of first in the morning or towards middle of day or evening?
I like to get started morning. I like to do everything in the morning. Is you know, if someone wants to have a meeting, I say, oh, you want to meet in the morning? That's great. 'Cause I don't know, it just feels right to get up and get to work. Plus it, you know, it just gives you more structure to the day. I don't think there is a normal, I haven't had a normal day. I don't think any day has ever been the same. Yeah, as far as structure, yeah, I like you know, maybe getting some meetings out of the way first, and then I can leave the rest of the day to do things where I am sort of stuck at the drawing board, you know, or behind the laptop or the computer screen, because there's that time where you need you need this like space
Sure.
to do it is what you do, but you don't, it's not like a math problem. You have to sit with yourself and maybe do some research or whatever, and then let like solutions come to you within that time frame. So I guess that's my answer, is I like to structure open time to be able to work on things.
No, that makes sense. Getting the meetings, whether face to face, phone calls out early in the morning, and then the design, the creative work in the afternoon is just you and doing your thing, right?
Right. Yeah. At least before picking up my son from school. Yeah, sure. So there's a hard stop. But yes. Having that free space.
If someone's listening to this, Galen, and they're saying, you know what? I want to go off on my own. I want to do my own thing. I've always had this burning desire to do X or Y or whatever it is. And whether it's landscape design or totally different niche and industry, what advice, what pointers would you give that person?
Oh gosh, I have thought about this, and I think first of all, there's no best time to do it. Like you can always wait and wait and wait and say, oh, it's not right. Now's not the time. Next year might be better, I think. But there never is. There's never a good time. I feel like you just need to do it. And I understand inertia. You know, when you're comfortable in a space, it's really easy to stay there. And I've done that. But yeah, that would be the main thing, is don't wait for the best time to do something. Just do it. I mean, I hate, it's a tagline, but I just, yeah, just start. Just start, I guess, is the thing. That would be the main thing. And of course, there's all kinds of financial things to, you got to get your financial house in order, I guess, to make sure you have the funds to get you through, lean times. But that's financial matters. I'm sure you can get the advice from plenty of people like that. But yeah, I think the biggest hurdle is just yourself, and pushing the go button is
Yeah.
it's hard.
No, it's so true. And also, as you just mentioned, the second point as far as having a supporting spouse or significant other, just because if someone doesn't have that and doesn't have sort of their home in order, it gets tough. It gets tough if you and your partner are not on the same page.
Absolutely. I am so lucky. The support that my wife has given me is being able to let me do this, basically. I mean, she was the one who said, do this. And with no strings attached, nothing, just do it. She wanted me to do what it is that I want to do, and be happy doing what I'm doing. So absolutely, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You mentioned earlier, as far as you have your 12-year-old son and he's sort of seeing you and sort of go through the process of studying and failing and getting back up. What would you say? And we all have setbacks, whether in business, outside of business, in our careers. What would you say sort of your favorite fail or setback that you've had, and what did you learn from that moving forward?
Oh gosh. Now, thankfully, I haven't really had much of a failure to speak of in the landscape design venture that I've gone through lately. I do always hold up this one instance when I was in graphic design, and my other business, where it was a company or a nonprofit, I think it was, needed some these really sort of expensive brochures and catalogs designed, printed, and taken with them to, I think, New York City. And it was all done in a rush. And it turns out there was something on the layout that got printed on there, that was, it was just mortifying when I was told about it, because there was almost no time left, and these things needed to be reprinted. If they could have been reprinted at all, I just, wow, that was something, I guess, that In the end, it's a lesson about paying attention to detail, maybe even at the expense of doing something like quickly. Yeah, that one really sticks out in my mind, to really be on your toes like all the time. And I don't think there's any comfort in doing, there's no 100% comfort in doing anything. But that could be a good thing. Something that'll just, that sort of uncomfortableness, discomfort, would be the sort of fire under us that keeps us awake all the time. And that might have been an episode of me not being fully awake at the time. And I will say it did have a happy ending, although I had to split cost. You know, it cost me money, but that's how it goes. That's how it goes. As long as, you know, the client needs to have done what they expected done. So yeah, that's what, that's still in my memory, and it probably won't go away.
Well, you're always learning, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Are there any specific habits or traits or skills you feel you have, Galen, that have helped you, whether business or just personal reasons?
Well, I mean, creativity, of course, that just goes without saying. It's in the title, you know, design right there. You know, being able to conjure up multiple approaches to the projects. Something that isn't really taught to you ever is people skills. You know, you just have to be sort of a friendly, kind, good, curious person. Because you're going back and forth between, you know, homeowners and contractors, that sort of thing, and there's a lot of talking involved, but it's one-on-one, which I feel I'm pretty good at. Like I can't stand, I'm terrible going into a room of, you know, 100 people and talking to them. It's awful. It's a disaster. But I can talk with people one-on-one, you know, you know, two people at a time, whatever. It's super helpful. Technical skills, like we talked about earlier. I've always been pretty tech savvy, I guess. You have to sort of switch into different softwares and be sort of a technically savvy person. Visualization skills, that might go into creativity, but being able to make sure that people can visualize something that doesn't exist yet. And we all have different ways of seeing something. And I have to be aware of that. And then a curiosity, I guess, being curious about more plant knowledge, new products that are on the market, technology. Like, for example, there's a new technology which you can show people like a master plan by using the VR goggles. It's kind of weird. I don't think I'll be using that anytime soon, but it sounds amazing. But stuff like that, being curious about new products and knowledge and that sort of thing. So those, I think those are the skills
I like that.
that I've learned.
Especially I have a feeling, you know, when we're children, we have a lot of that curiosity that you mentioned, or creativity. And a lot of us, as we go through adulthood and we grow up, we don't use it as often as we did, of course, as we were child. And you know, we don't lose it. We still have it there. It's innate. It's in us. We just have to bring it out. And it's nice when you are able to use this creativity on a day-to-day basis. I just feel as humans, we're more happy overall, more joyful. And I felt it firsthand in my business, in my career, you know, with commercial real estate. After a while, you not does it not that it gets redundant as far as the negotiations. I like it because there's always creativity aspects. What do you need to do to, I guess, get both parties comfortable to move forward with getting a deal done? But it wasn't until I had this show and more of the creativity energy in me came out, and it you find everything else in your life just so much more fulfilling when you have that creativity aspect in your day to day.
I agree. I heard somewhere a long time ago that someone said, and it was in a it was in the context of business. It said, no matter who you are, you have to have a creative aspect to your job. Even if you're like flipping hamburgers, maybe it's being creative about how your process is or whatever. Everything. If you don't have a creative aspect to what you're doing, you're probably missing out on some joy, I guess. But
Yeah.
yeah, agreed, absolutely. And I think it's you do have to work at it more as an adult to sort of keep the curiosity going and the creativity going.
Yeah. And you have to find ways, now that I think about it, to play games with yourself as far as what someone may see as redundant or boring, how do you can make it sort of more fun and or a game to, it's all in here, I think, at first.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
What would you say is your biggest challenge with your role today, Galen, with the business?
Well, I mean, at the moment, like I said, I'm work in progress I mean, marketing myself is yes, is establishing myself. I have to, we have to figure out strengths and weaknesses and put them out there. And then just being like learning more, always learning more. And that shouldn't be too hard, you wouldn't think, because we've got every tool at our fingertips to do that. But I think learning more includes knowing more people and reaching out to my fellow designers, at the APLD, or mentors that you might have. So yeah, there's a universe of knowledge out there that still needs to be tapped into.
That's great. No, I agree. I feel that the more people know you, the better it is overall for yourself, for business. Then people know what you have to offer, right?
Right. Oh, I do want to give a shout out to the SCORE. I think it's called the SCORE program. I don't know what the acronym is, but it's a company, or not company, it's a program. It's a free service out there. Their mentors can you can talk with them, and they will help you with getting your business established. So yeah, do look up. It's just SCORE, SCORE, SCORE program. And yeah, those are when you talk about reaching out and contacting people who can help you, that is a place to go.
And they've helped you. I've heard of them. I assume they've helped you.
Yeah, correct. Correct. I'm still in contact with a mentor of mine right now. I mean, we just started, but it's
Sure.
really helpful. Yeah.
That's great. And is this organization, is this free or is it, or you have to pay?
Absolutely free.
Okay.
Absolutely free. It's amazing. I don't know where the funding comes from, but I know it's volunteer. It's all volunteer effort, yeah, that makes sense. But yeah,
That's amazing.
absolutely free.
So for those listening or watching, again, it's SCORE, SCORE. I've heard of them and they're great.
Okay.
I agree.
Great, great, cool. Yep. Everybody out listening to this, do look them up.
So what do you know now, going through all this, 2 years into business, rich history in graphic design, creativity, what do you know now that you wish you would have known at the start of your business career?
Oh gosh. Oh, that's a good one. Probably has to do with that you things are not going to go the way you plan them. Like I said earlier, there's no being 100% comfortable doing anything. And that's okay. If you're going to run into problems, you're going to have something printed that's absolutely wrong, but that's okay, because I think for myself, I guess I had the idea that everyone had their act together, and kind of I'm the only one who runs into any problems. Well, that's ridiculous. That's not how it is at all. So if I could go back in time and tell myself, I would say expect to have speed bumps in the road. Also, saying no is hard. When you're starting out, the instinct is to take on jobs that may not be a good fit, or to do things because you do things out of you kind of do things out of desperation sometimes. Mostly money. And you say, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it for cheap. I'll do it for cheaper. Like, no, I mean, so you got to respect yourself, and don't do things just because, it seems like a quick buck or something like that. I think that's another one. So yeah, yeah, those are the things I would say.
And that's not easy, especially starting off where every dollar is important. Well, whether you're starting off or you're, 20, 40, 50 years into the business, but like you said, sometimes out of desperation and you have bills to pay, right? You say yes, and it might not be the best fit or the best use of your time. Maybe it's better finding the right ideal client, instead of saying yes to this.
Yeah, and that comes up a lot is I see all these sort of little seminars or talks or things that the associations put on, and almost all the time there's one in there that the title of the seminar is Finding Your Right Client, and the you know what it is. It's like, oh, the client, they have lots of money and they're super friendly, and well, it goes beyond that. There's a lot of stuff that you need to figure out. But yeah, that comes up a lot is finding the right fit for you, and saying no to the other stuff is hard.
Yeah. Coming to an end here soon, Galen. What does the future look like for you in the business? What are you most excited about for the next couple of years?
I am interested in branching out geographically, I guess. I've always, had Petworth as my sort of home base, and I really enjoy working on, working with homeowners to sort of beautify their yards that maybe they didn't think they could work with a designer for, and it's great. I do want to branch out into different types of homes and different locations, and in the area, and I've started doing that a little bit, and there's some amazing spaces out there, and they all come with a new set of issues, whether it's stormwater runoff or light problems, and this is stuff that I want to be able to figure out, and help people with. So yeah, it and just growth in general. Yeah, work in progress.
That's true. What do you like to do for fun in your free time when you're not busy working in the business?
Oh gosh, well, I've always been active physically. I'm a big runner, and hiking. I used to be a surfer. It's hard to now. I don't really live near the beach. Remember, I said I lived in Florida. I love going to sporting events. Traveling is great. One fun thing that me and my wife do is we like to go on these road trips to go see minor league baseball games. I just love getting out there and seeing these like slices of Americana. It's fantastic because I used to play baseball too. So stuff like that. I could go on and on, but yeah, I just like to stay active and travel.
That's great. Is your son into baseball as well?
He's into soccer now. I pushed him toward baseball, of course, and but I'm he took a liking to soccer, and I'm not gonna stop him there. It's pretty great. He's sort of turned me into a soccer fan as well. As you take on your kids' passions sometimes.
Does he enjoy the minor league games when you go together, or he prefers to watch soccer?
Yeah, likes both. Likes both. I mean, we haven't been on a road trip in a while. I think the last one we did was we went up through, I guess up through Ohio. I guess we went to and a bunch of stadiums that way.
Sure.
I used to be I used to as a kid I would draw stadiums and arenas and so I had a bunch. I wish I still had those drawings. I don't know where they went, but I would make my own. And so I would make my own stadiums.
That's great. Well, I'm happy to hear you're still using that artistic and creative side of things for work.
Me too.
That's great. Gentlemen, if someone's listening to this and they want to find out more information, where can they go to, please?
My website, LawsonYardscapes.com. Just like it sounds. Go there. You'll see links to my Instagram page, which is pretty great. I put stuff out on that a lot, which that's where the fun stuff is. So LawsonYardscapes.com, and go from there.
Awesome. Galen, thank you so much for joining me today. Had a ton of fun.
Oh, thank you. This has been great.
Take care.
Hey, okay, bye-bye.